Welcome. This is the Sikh Coach Podcast, a podcast exploring the Sikh principles and how to live them in the 21st century. Welcome to the Sikh Coach Podcast. This is Avtar Singh, wishing you are all well, given the circumstances. Do stay safe and look after your loved ones. We will get through this. This is episode 5, called Turbans and Sikhs. In this episode, I catch up with my good friend Sudden Singh, who is also on Instagram. His account is at Singh Brews. That's Singh, Brews. His account combines his passion for coffee, baking, the Sikh faith and art. So do check it out. So today we talk about the Sikh turban, the history, the significance and the misconceptions, and our individual experiences of wearing a turban and our journey. So do check out the episode. Any feedback, do get back to us. I hope you enjoy it. Take care. Waheguru Ji Ka Khalsa.
Khalsa. Waheguru Ji Ki Fateh.
I want to welcome you all. This is Avtar Singh.
And Sudden Singh.
So today we're going to talk about the turban and the Sikhs and the relevance of the turban, the history, why it's important for Sikhs, the misconceptions, and also a bit about our own experiences of being turban-wearing Sikhs. So, Saran, do you want to add anything to the topic?
We're really happy to bring this to our listeners. Really, we want to just bring about awareness in general about Sikhism, Sikhs. And today, we will be talking about turbans, what it means to us, the relationship between a Sikh and a turban. That's why we called it Turbans and Sikhs. Without further ado, we can get straight into the topic. Let's do it.
So I thought before we talk about the history of the turban, we can probably talk a bit about our own journeys, just as a summary of what has been turban wearing Sikhs, what the experience has been for us. So Saran, do you want to explain when your relationship with the turban started and the context behind that and what you've sort of experienced yourself?
Hanji, sure. I think that's a good start. We should talk about our own personal journey and personal aspect when it comes to turbans. For me, being born in a Sikh family, it just went without any questions that I wouldn't be wearing a turban. My dad wore a turban. My dad's dad wore a turban, and everybody around me wore a turban. So it just came very naturally. When I think about, I was about 10 years or so in India. We do a little ceremony where we do. It's called a turban tying ceremony. We all go to the Gurdwara, the Sikh temple. We do our ardas, the prayers, and the father and the elders tie a turban, the very first turban. And then from that day onwards, every day at school, we keep the turban on. And it's just from there on, it just becomes a daily part of your life. That's where it started for me, being born and raised in Delhi. So from there on, it was just a uniform for me initially as a school uniform on a daily basis. However, at home, I wouldn't be wearing it. I would just be wearing a smaller version of it, a bandana, or to say in Punjabi, we call it the patka, on a daily basis. But ceremonially if there's a function going on, if there's a party or a special occasion, so I would definitely be rocking one. School for sure, 9 to 5, 8 to 4, every day, Monday to Friday, I'll be having one. So by the time you graduate from school, it's just become an extension of your body. You just think of it as your limbs, as another part of your body. So yeah, that's what it was to me when I was growing up.
Did you go to a Sikh school then? Was it like
a... I did, yeah. I went to a Sikh school in Delhi. I was fortunate enough that my parents put me to a Punjabi Sikh school in Delhi. It was called a Guru Har Krishan Public School, GHPS in short, and the center of Delhi, India Gate. I was fortunate enough to go there. It was actually a strict part of the uniform for Sikh boys. It was a Sikh, strict part of our uniform. Obviously, it wasn't forced, even though it was a Sikh school, it wasn't forced upon the Hindus or the Muslims who were also part of the school, who were my friends and my school classmates. So it wasn't forced. But for Sikhs, if I was a Sikh boy, it was a compulsory part of my uniform growing up. So that's all the way up to my graduation.
It's almost like it was a norm for a Sikh to be wearing a turban in the school then.
Yes, you can say that. Yeah, it was a norm for me, my surroundings, my siblings, my parents. Yeah, it was just a norm. You know, occasionally, you know, kids would make jokes out of it, but it's just harmless jokes, you know, around school and that, but yeah. Nothing serious really.
So I suppose growing up in India, the acceptability of a turban was quite normal. Like there was no restrictions or anything like that, because obviously that's the country where the origin of the Sikh faith was. So there was a perceived understanding. And plus there's a lot of historical significance for Sikhs in Delhi as well. Like you've got very historic gurdwaras, and you've got the community and gurupurbs and the big celebration. So the community wise, there was no friction in that sense that if you wanted to wear a turban.
Yeah, definitely. I would say, you know, obviously Sikhism originated in Punjab, the northern India. But the second biggest population, I would say, in India would be in Delhi, where I'm from. So yes, you can say that it was easy. And we were well known. We were quite famous as a tribe, as a nation, as a community in Delhi for sure. So it was easier to rock a turban or whatever form of a turban you want to rock, and beards and whatever really. So yeah, I mean, it definitely was easy. Yeah, for sure. As opposed to other countries, or even as opposed to remote areas within India. You know, I've now, you know, when I was growing up, I didn't know all this, but now growing up, reading history, I now know that up north in India, there are places where Sikhs are discriminated against for wearing their turbans or keeping their identity and keeping their looks. So yeah, I mean, you know, you learn these things as you grow up, really.
Okay. So when do you think the sort of view of wearing the turban flipped to something that became conscious than just something that was traditionally in your family was deemed to be normal? When did that become more of a conscious decision?
Okay, yeah. I guess, you know, maybe every family is different. However, in my family, you know, there was no manly one-to-one talk between me and the father. You know, they were, but just not in terms of religion as such, or turbans. You know, nobody really gave me the significance, the real reasons and the historic reasons and the cultural and religious reasons behind why we wear one. I just was left to experience and explore it for myself. All I was just told is you have to wear one and you should be wearing one. Why wouldn't you wear one? And so on and so on. So, you know, when I graduated from India, from my school, I was then fortunate enough to go study, you know, outside the country. So I landed in the UK, where we both are now, where we both met each other. So when I came here, my understanding changed a little bit. But first thing that happened was obviously I now started challenging it more than I was challenging it back home. I wore it less and less. I experimented with my looks more and more, surrounded by all sorts of diverse people. And so I thought, you know, why shouldn't I? Why can I not experience? And that happened because, you know, I didn't know the historic significance, the cultural, the religious significance, the sacrifices our elders had made, our forefathers had made for it. Yeah, so that all happened until very recently, I would say, in the last 5 to 10 years, where it's a funny, funny story. I was in the gym once and I saw English friend of mine rocking a big ass beard and a nice cool turban, and I was surprised to see him. He was wearing it so proudly, even though when he was not actually supposed to. That gave me a jolt, really. That woke me up. You know, being a Sikh, I am supposed to wear one proudly, and you know, with some guidelines which that's been provided to me, and I don't rock one and I don't wear one. However, there's this guy on the other side. There's no compulsion to him, and he's wearing it so proudly. So that woke me up, really. That gave me a jolt. So that's where it started. That's where it flipped for me. How about yourself? Tell us a bit of your background on turban growing up. I know you come from a different country, different background. So it'd be good to learn a bit about yourself as well.
So mine was the opposite. So I was born and brought up in the UK. So I was brought up in the Midlands. And I mean, I was born into a Sikh family. I mean, we celebrated good parabs and events and special occasions, but there was no real compulsion to say, right, you must be religious. It was deemed as something the elders did, but we went to the Gurdwara, you know, that was about it. There was a mix in the community. There was people who wore pagris, people who wore turbans, who didn't wear turbans. It wasn't like my father wore one or his father. I mean, his father probably did wear one, but he didn't wear one, but he wasn't overtly religious either. So I didn't have any other understanding. But I had an impression of going to the Gurdwara, seeing the pictures of sort of valiant warriors and, you know, get an impression of what it represented. So that had a real good impression of me as a youngster. And my mother did keep my hair. And then when I got to like, you know, 7, 8, it was just getting difficult to manage. And I was complaining. I didn't understand the significance of it. So I thought the rest of my friends don't have it. So why do I have it? So let's cut my hair. So that from that point to when I was at university in my last year, that's when I started to rethink and research Sikhism, the faith, the scriptures,
the curiosity
was like, well, you know, I have this thing inside me. Whenever I see a guy with a turban, I was like, wow, that looks amazing, I would love to wear one, but I just didn't have the courage to do it. So the interest sparked off there, that, you know, this is something about our heritage, our history, it's rich, like you mentioned, the sacrifices, you know, the representation of what it meant for me.
Yeah, we didn't know. Yeah, you didn't know.
Like there was a spark inside, but it was just a spark. And then once I started reading about it, you know, I got the courage to start wearing one when I was 27. So that's, you know, quite a few years ago now. I'm about to hit 40 this year. But then I just decided, you know, that was it. You know, there's a feeling inside. I'm not allowing it to happen. I mean, I tell you an experience. So when I used to go to my barber shop, every time I used to go there, I used to have this subtle feeling of guilt. That, you know, it didn't feel right inside.
Yeah, okay.
Anybody else telling me that you shouldn't be doing this or shouldn't be.
But it was just your conscience.
Consciousness inside was felt, I'm sitting here and I'm getting this done. And I told my barber that last time, I go, you know what? He goes, oh, you're a Sikh, aren't you? He goes, aren't you wearing a turban? And then he was Muslim. He was a very down-to-earth person, but he just said it genuinely. He goes, you're supposed to be keeping a turban. I go, yeah, you know, you're right. And I go, I've always contemplated keeping one, but I just never have. And he goes, and I said, you know what, I will do it one day. And he sort of joked to me, he goes, nah, never. You won't be able to do it. And like, I remember from that visit, 8 months later, I walked past and I said hello to him, and he couldn't recognize me because I'd kept my beard grew really quick.
Yeah.
I was wearing turban, and he's looked at me shocked, like, wow, you actually did it, you know.
You did it, yeah.
He shook my hand.
No, that's a great story. Thank you for sharing that. Because a lot of listeners might be thinking, you know, oh, okay, yeah, that's great. But what is the turban? You know, why are we wearing one? You know, all good to hear all these, you know, revolutionary stories and about the past. But why are we wearing one? What is it? You know, is it just a piece of cloth and all? Do you want to talk about the history and I'll speak about the spiritual significance?
Yeah, that's fine. So if you research on the turban, so it's not only of significance to the Sikhs. I mean, the Sikhs are mandated to wear that. That's a different story, but we'll go into that later.
We'll go into that,
But the history of the turban dates back to like 4,000 years ago, and it predates all of the main religions and the faiths that exist at the moment. So it was already, already there. And I think the oldest sort of marking of that is a sculpture, and that dates back to that 2350 BCE. So that's how far it goes back. And typically the turban in those days was a sign of like royal status. And that was both in status as in a king or you know, somebody who's has a lot of resources or power in those times. But also it was significance to show spirituality. So, you know, you have yogis in India, so they don turbans and stuff as well. But there's also actually a hierarchy in spirituality as well that I represent. So leaders who were religious scholars or, you know, priests, they were always donned turbans or headgear.
Headgear, so, some form of headgear.
Some form of headgear. Okay. And there was obviously some areas which was a practicality as well around
I was going to ask, yeah.
Environment, the protecting of the head.
Exactly. We have seen in the movies as well when some people go in the desert, they cover their head to protect from the sun.
There's a bit when they cover the face as well.
Mask so as well. Yeah.
It was a number of things, but so we just wanted to highlight that point that headgear has existed.
It goes far back,
very, very long time. And that's where it originated from. So we can move on to the significance of what turban means to Sikhs then, sir, if you want to
explain. Yeah. I think that's the main area of concern for us, both being Sikhs. And, you know, we want to define this and explain this relationship that Sikhs have with their turbans, where it comes from, why the Sikh gurus always had one, and then why they made it a mandatory part of uniform. Quickly, I would like to define what a Sikh is, so we know, you know, what's the relationship. Sikh just means refers to a learner or a student, right? And we have a guru. We call our guru the Guru Granth Sahib. It's in the form of a book, a holy scripture for us. We class it the highest for us after God or in parallel to God. So we use Guru Granth Sahib as our guru. So we say, you know, a Sikh is a student of the Guru. If there is no Guru, there is no Sikh. And that Guru Granth Sahib has messages from all our physical gurus that have been. So really what I'm trying to say here is that the turban comes from that Guru to the Sikh, right? So from a teacher to a student, or from a leader to his followers, or let's say a government to its police, and so on. So that's the relationship. That's the flow of turban. Our first guru wore one always. He rocked one, and then the second, and so on, all the way till the 10th. And the 10th and the last guru said, okay, my physical journey is complete. I'm now giving you a full uniform on how you must look like as a Sikh on a very basic manner. You know, the colors might differ, the shape might differ. You might wear different color clothes or even different modern trousers or whatever modern clothes you may want, but you all have one or few things in common. And, you know, we all know we have these five articles of faith. So we all have these five things in common, which will stand us out, which will give us a uniform, which will give us a brotherhood, a nationhood, a uniform. And one of the biggest part of that uniform was the turban. So that is the spiritual flow of the turban. So it comes from the guru to his student, or the teacher to his student, or a government to his nation.
Just to point that, it was like almost like the maturity of this journey that we were already on through the iterations of the gurus, and the way that each of them took the last message from the guru, the previous guru, and sort of took it on a journey. And then I guess the formalization of all the spiritual, ethical, social values that were embedded into a Sikh were then formalized into an outer uniform that represented what your action should be. But I think is the power of that formalization to a uniform. It's almost like, you know, like you refer to a government telling a policeman or policewoman what they should be doing. It took a number of iterations to get to that point where this person who's wearing that uniform represents something, and they are then accountable to that. I think that was the sort of powerful part to it.
A Sikh is only a Sikh if, you know, a student is only a student if he follows the teacher's teachings, right? Otherwise, you're half a student, or you're, you know, you're just a pretend student. You're not a student. We all know this. You know, we all go to schools, we wear a uniform, school uniform. But some of us graduate the school with flying colors because we listen to our teachers. We followed the advice, we followed the messages of the books of the real teachers. And we go out in the industry, in the commercial world, and we succeed. Or in the real world, we succeed because we follow those teachings. Similarly, from a spirituality point of view, if we are to listen to the guru, you know, then we are to succeed as a Sikh. And now onto the, what is a turban really? In a practical term, it's just a long piece of cloth. Material could differ. Some, you know, some put it a lighter version of the cloth, some more heavier, some bigger, some long, shorter, some thicker, some lighter. So you know, the material differs. The point is that, you know, it's a long piece of cloth. So we tie our hair, we tie our big turbans around it or small turbans around it in terms of our identity, which completes our identity and gives us a crown. So that's the physical, protects us from the elements. When it's too hot, protects us from the sun. When it's too cold, protects, gives us warmth. So that's some, it also protects us from dirt, from the outside filth there might be. So there's the practical background of it as well.
I think the other part we've got to mention as well is the it was at the time on the point where you say there's the gift from the gurus, but it was like a time when only people wearing a turban were of status that could wear a turban. And it was almost like an oppression for anybody else having to wear a turban to showcase that royalty. So what the gurus did was they gave every Sikh that same royalty. They gave equality because there was no discrimination against what background you were from. So it was almost like a level playing field to bring up, sort of upstand the whole of society together and to empower them to say, you are worthy of this turban and you are worthy of this responsibility. And this is the way you need to live in the world as a positive force.
And in the 15th century, there was a lot of oppression from the Mughal rulers and the Brahmin class of the local priests. And they were rocking a turban to show off their hierarchy, their level of superiority. Even though, you know, obviously they weren't as such, you know, they were just as normal people as everybody else. But because they were either political bodies or the kings and queens and the leaders, the saints, the priests, they all rocked one to show off their hierarchy, really. And hence, when our gurus came and they said, you know, why should anybody be lower than anyone? You know, if a Brahmin or if a king is wearing a turban to pretend, oh, to even just say that I'm higher than everybody else, all my Sikhs, all our Sikhs, or everybody who comes and, you know, follows this path of freedom that was at that time, the Sikhs, they gave the freedom to the local people and said, you should all wear one. You know, why should you not wear one? So it started really there itself that, you know, it was a sign of equality amongst all the Sikh brothers and sisters, really, that, you know, we all meet together. We all have turbans on. There's no class system. There's no hierarchy. They were all seen as equals because they all rocked the turbans. You see, so it just removed those barriers.
It was actually, I mean, if you think about it, it was revolutionary.
That's it, yeah.
Innovative, creative, you know, it was a massive movement at that time.
Massive movement, yeah, rebellion.
Because
I mean, nobody was allowed.
It caused like shockwaves actually throughout the whole of India. Like, whoa, what happened here? Because no one's ever done something to a section of society to then suddenly empower them to tell them that
you
can make a difference.
And to wake them up and say, you know, you don't have to be oppressed.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to be oppressed by the certain few.
And we can cover like actually the rich history of what the Khalsa did, you know, in those times was revolutionary, and the sacrifices and actually the impact they had to the subcontinent of India as a whole, just to sort of showcase the power of that sort of change in later episodes. All right.
Yeah. I think we've defined the turban. Just to summarize, obviously, it's an article of faith given to Sikhs from the teacher, from the guru. It's a crownship, it's a crown status, and a status of equality amongst all the Sikhs. Like, there's no one Sikh that is special than the others. They're all Sikhs are equal. We all wear the turban as a sign of equality and a sign of a king, really. You know, when we put it on, we have this sense of leadership, you know, because a king is supposed to lead. So we all are the kings of the one Lord or the one Guru, right? And we are to lead everybody else and amongst and ourselves in that virtuous manner that the Guru intended us to. And thirdly, it was a revolution, it was a rebellion against the oppression, oppressing community of those times, whoever they might be. It was a practical, the practical reasons behind it. And finally, it was a uniform, really. Yeah, so those are the few reasons and few concepts behind it.
Yeah, and I think the key thing was to like, and I think this is probably resonates personally as well, is like when you wear a turban, there's a responsibility. You lead by example. And you do in action. It's not just something that, you know, you've got it on your leader now to do stuff, but it's the actual physical thing that you have to have your, you have to live the principles, isn't it? It's like,
that's it. Yeah, I think we're just coming on to that part now, that what does it mean for you and me now, after knowing the significance and the history now, when we put it on a daily basis, what does it mean to you, sir?
Yeah, so the significance for me wearing a turban, I think it's the conscious decision of wearing it and understanding what all of the things that we spoke about it represents. For me, I personally feel that you are identifiable, as the whole purpose of wearing a turban is to be identified in a crowd of thousands. And that is the case. People do remember you. They know who you are. And you, and there's a lot of people that, you know, I don't know if you, you've experienced as well, that just random people come up to you and say, I know who you are, you're a Sikh. This is what, you know, I've had this experience with Sikhs, or, you know, they are like this. So there's definitely this brand that's been created from that. And that's because of those people who act and live according to the turban and, you know, the expectations.
Yeah.
And like you say, we are almost like the police, but probably the perfect example of what a community support officer would be as a community, someone who's ready to help others and to take action rather than stand by and watch people suffer or have their contribution in society to make it positive. And I think that's what it is. I think the key word that Sikhs aren't destroyers, they're defenders.
That's it. Yeah. They're virtuous people. You know, you're right.
Proven.
Yeah.
Throughout history.
Yeah.
What about you, Sam? What about you personally?
Yeah, I mean, obviously,
how does it affect you?
Yeah, I mean, it's changed a lot in the last few years. You know, earlier it was just an extension of my body, and I was just considering as another part, another thing that I have to put on, just like I have to put on a t-shirt. I have to put on a turban too, just to, you know, it's a thing that we do, right? So there was no enlightenment really. But since I've obviously, you know, come to know and I've learned more about my religion, my forefathers and my history and the reason why I put it on, and, you know, it's really changed my life. Now, you know, when I put it on, I feel this sense of pride that comes with the sacrifice my parents and my parents' parents and forefathers made to still be able to wear one. You know, I know in England, they had to fight so many, legal battles and other battles just to be able to wear one to drive a public bus, or you to drive a motorbike or things like that. So it gives me a sense of pride to wear one. And also, you know, the other really bigger thing is that when I put it on and I'm out and about, I am conscious now that I am bound by the laws of the turban and the spiritual laws under it, that I must adhere to it and help others because I wear one, and it's expected of me. A higher living, moral living is expected of me because I rock one. At the same time, I'm conscious that I don't do anything wrong and make my Sikh brethren look bad and my community look bad because, you know, I rock one. I am a part of a bigger community and I'm a part of a bigger culture. Yeah, you know, I represent something, and you would have come across this. You know, you would see this, that for example, when you went to the barber said to you, "Oh, you're a Sikh. You're not supposed to do such things."
Yeah.
You know, there's even people out there expect a higher moral living from the Sikh who's wearing a turban, who's rocking a turban. Yeah. Suddenly, you know, a lot is expected of you. You know, Spider-Man once said that, you know, with a lot of power comes a lot of responsibility. So this gives me that power, but at the same time, there's a lot of responsibilities. A lot is expected from me to live a better life, to help others, to support others, to think of not just me in a selfish manner, but as my gurus and my forefathers thought of others, I must at the same time do the same. So yeah, it gives me a great pride now when I wear it every day.
I think those points are very, very important, because I think some of those things would will dispel some of the misconceptions that people have around
definitely,
and Sikhs. And because one person, I remember one of my friend of mine, he said this very, very thing. One point he made, it was very like, it made me think. And he goes, you know what? If you look at a Sikh from an outer perspective and people look at the turban, they think, oh, that's so old school. That's so like a relic, you know, like it's so like not part of this world. But he goes, actually, when you look at the Sikh faith and the principles, and you understand behind the identity, it's the most like relevant teachings that anybody can pick up and apply to their life, and it's universal. I think that's the thing, is the image we've just not been able to sort of spread out. I mean, even if you think about being brought up in the UK, for me, I personally did experience some, you know, racial slurs, abuse and stuff like that, where people would say, you know, terrorists and blah, blah, blah. But that's because of the misconception and not knowing.
Of course, yeah. It's an education as well. Yeah.
Like the country, we've had a rich relationship with the UK anyway. So prior to even all the Sikhs emigrating here, we were in world wars.
We fought alongside the English army,
Even Winston Churchill, you know, he's recognized that, you know, I think one of the quotes that he was, British people are highly indebted and obliged to Sikhs for a long time. You know, and that's because he knew the contributions that the Sikhs won in World War II.
Another fun fact there would be, you know, Sikh army was the only army which was allowed not to wear a war helmet or war head protection, because they felt so proud of their turbans that they wouldn't take it off. They said, we'd rather die, have a bullet through our heads with the turban on, but not wear a helmet. And the Sikh and the English army recognized the valor and recognized the spirit that brought to their unit. And they allowed, the Sikh army was the only army was allowed to go in the war zone with their turbans fully intact and obviously the big weapons around it. So really.
And I've seen a photo where some of the actual, you know, the generals leading those army regiments who were non-Sikhs, they were British, and they were donning the turban as well.
They would have done the same. Yeah, turban, I've seen the same pictures. At that time, English army generals, some of them wore a turban as well. Just, you know, especially the ones that led the or worked directly with the Sikh armies.
And I think the underlying concern, the issue was with the, when people emigrate to these Western countries, you know, the average people in the communities were not understanding of who we are. And so there's a lot of pressure on certain people to thinking that they needed to fit in, they needed to do away with their culture, with their turban, because they not deemed to fit in or be employable for their livelihoods. And I think that, you know, a lot of that's coming through now around imposter syndrome and stuff, around people thinking we need to do away with our culture, whereas actually gone full circle now. You've got other people, you know, you've got Gucci creating turbans and stuff, you know, it's
a turbans, become a fashion. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And people are allowing you to embrace your identity.
Yeah. I think obviously it's everybody's personal journeys, right? I had my own personal journey. You had your own personal journey to get here. I think if we are to educate, education is the key, really. If we are to educate not only others outside, it's great. You know, we make these podcasts and these videos and educate others. But really, we have to educate our younger generation within Sikhs. Because I see, you know, I wasn't educated in the historic and the religious and the spiritual background of the turban. And I, for some time, went away just like you from that path. And then from my own personal journey, exploration came back. But really, we have to sit. I remember our 10th guru and all the gurus, their mothers, who sat them down, tell them the stories of their forefathers, stories of the sacrifices, stories of the turbans. That's the kind of thing we need to do with our kids. We need to teach them from a very younger age what it is. Not wait until they become 18 and then tell them and then give them the choice. You know, it's always a choice. It's never really a force, but it's more of an education. The younger the education is provided, the more meaningful it becomes to them, and the more they are to stay with their faith and their identity. And then once they keep their identity, then serve the community with those good godly virtues which comes not just with your turban, but within as well.
Yeah, it's keeping the your roots alive, the history alive.
That's it. Yeah.
In those historical moments, it's the lessons that, you know, those hundreds and hundreds of years of lessons, which are like very, very powerful. They can serve as much relevance today as it did back then and going forward as well. So it's only something that's going to breed positivity, because the whole purpose of it was to change society for the better.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, in modern times, styles might change, colors might change, uniforms might change and things like that. But one thing that can always stay, you know, as the nature stays, you know, the cold, the summer, the all the season stays. The turban as well, it can stay. It stays. There's no reason why we have to ever get rid of it. And it remains as our identity, as our look. It completes us. So I don't see any reason why, just because it's modern times, we should be getting rid of. I see no hindrance, especially now. I see no hindrance. You know, I can understand, in the times of our fathers who migrated to these countries, they had to face abuse, racism, and all those things. They couldn't get jobs and stuff. I can understand that. But now, more than ever, there really is no reason why we should have to forsake it.
You've got all on a country level, people, you know, promoting equality, diversity, inclusion. Yeah, there's a particular emphasis on communities are less represented. So actually, you know, there's a lot of energy going behind allowing you to keep your own identity and being proud of it. But not only that, to share your diversity, because people are realizing now at board level on companies, it's similar mindsets, and that breeds, you know, your stale ideas and stuff, where if you get people with different mindsets, different backgrounds, they'll question things, look at things in different ways, and you improve things. So I think what you do is, if you lose some of your identity, you lose that richness that you would bring to the world. And I think that's what you were saying about giving the next generation the opportunity to understand actually what was that richness.
Yeah. And one more thing I think I would like to add here is it gives you a higher stature. It gives you a higher status. All of us, I'm not saying just one of us, it gives all the Sikhs, when they put on a turban, or when you see a policeman, when he puts on his, you know, police hat, or anybody else, it just all of a sudden gives them a higher stature straight away. You know, that feeling of the bigger feeling of part of something, and also at the bigger feeling of a higher stature. Similarly, you know, the gurus saw that, the gurus experienced it. And the gurus, in one of his shabads, in the messages that he gave to us, he says very clearly, and I'm going to quote him there, is that khub teri pagdi meethe tere bol. So he first imagines God, imagines his stature to be great. He says khub means wow, is your stature. You know, pagdi is directly related to stature. So he says, wow is your stature. Khub teri pagdi. So, and then he talks about meethe tere bol. That sweet are your words, sweet are your messages, sweet are your teachings. So, so first he talks about turban being directly in relation to stature of a higher living.
Yep, that's definitely the empowerment of the principles tied into a uniform.
Yeah, that represents something. And I think we haven't touched on one more thing, is that, you know, the spiritual side of what's inside the turban, the head, the teachings, the in Punjabi we call it the math. Math means the intellect, the teachings, what's inside. So, you know, obviously it's a very simple thing I can ask you as well. Like, you know, do we think putting on a turban makes us a Sikh?
Hmm. Yeah, I think that's one of the things that we were talking, we definitely wanted to discuss, was how it's not just about the uniform, it's just as well as how a police officer, if they're not performing to their duties, they're stripped away from their uniform, or you know, they're not worthy of it, or they're not matching the outer actions to the inner intention.
I think that's inner teachings or inner laws of police.
I think the journey for a Sikh or anybody, is a journey of learning and improving and becoming better. That's not a problem. But what it is that the intentions and the actions need to match for it to be effective. You cannot just wear a turban and you think you're higher and better because the principle, it goes against the principle of it. It's like polish on the groundwork you would do as a person to then represent something. And that's very, very important.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly. You know, as a Sikh is developing in terms of his spiritual learning, as his internal learning through the guru, right? He is to follow those and then eventually be, you know, there's a ceremony in our Sikhism called Amrit ceremony. It's almost like baptism, right? Hmm. And ideally, when we are baptized, then we are supposed to be keeping all those five articles of faith, and turban being one of them. For me, I feel turban is one of those. It's not just, you can just wear it, you know, without knowing what should be inside it. You know, I think you shouldn't be allowed, in my personal opinion, a Sikh should only be allowed to wear a turban when he respects it and knows what kind of education and commitments it comes with and responsibilities it comes with, right? Because it's a uniform, and a uniform comes with some commitments and expectations and learnings and all that. So I think, you know, and the guru itself, in the Guru Granth Sahib, you know, we can get some examples of pagri, the turban, from the guru. For example, in our Guru Granth Sahib, there's a Shabad by Faridji, Baba Faridji. He's been a great poet just a long time before gurus. And he says, Baba Faridji says, I will quote him here. He says, "Main pulava pagda, mat meli hoye jaye, gehla ru na janei, sir pe mitti khaye." What he's trying to tell us there, he's teaching us there, that I thought I need to put a nice turban on and just protect that turban from the filth of the world outside. I just need to keep it clean, nice, spanking looking, you know, oh, nice, fashionable and all that. I thought that's it. That's my journey. That's my complete goal. But really what I didn't realize was happening when I went out was I was collecting filth, worldly filth, materialistic filth. I was filling my mind, my inner conscious with that filth of greed, of desire, of collecting, of lying, of killings, of stealing, of all these bad things. I was collecting them and polluting my mind, but keeping my turban clean. So he says that's no good. Baba Faridji is telling us.
Yeah. So the clear intention versus the outer appearance. Yeah. And I think you mentioned the baptism ceremony of becoming into the Khalsa and Brotherhood. I think it's an important part is that some people misconceive that as graduation into that. But actually, it's just an acceptance into a pledge to say you will live by a higher standard of living. And
exactly, responsibility. I feel, graduation, I don't think in Sikhism you can ever actually graduate. You're always a learning Sikh, learn, practice. It's an ever-growing circle, really, in terms of spiritual journey, because there are so many distractions out there. You know, you're always having to fight against the distractions and spiritual learning, distraction, practicing, and all sorts. And it's just a repeat process.
Daily challenge, yeah.
Yeah, it's a daily repeat process for us, you know. It's endless. The fight is endless. The fight is endless. I'm just trying to think whether I missed anything there. No, I think we must have covered everything.
The typical one I get is, do you have to sleep with your turban on?
Yes, that's a very common one.
I think people align the religious requirement. They don't understand like it's a uniform. So you can go home and relax and wear something like smaller, a bandana or something, or give your hair some breathing space.
But you have to for your own health sake.
Yeah, because one of the things you have to ensure is that you keep your hair, you keep your turban, but cleanliness is a must.
Definitely, biggest part of Sikhism. Obviously, you might have some extreme views, but on a general point, on a general view, yes, we don't have to sleep with it. We can either cover our hair with a simple cloth, or some may even sleep with the open hair just to let them breathe. Nothing wrong with that.
Exactly. Yeah, it is something that you wear as a physical uniform, so you tie it
as you complete your look.
So another one, How long does it take to Taiwan?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it takes years.
How long does it take you to tie your turban?
Yeah, for me, the whole process of, you know, getting the things ready and all, 5 minutes maybe, not even that if I'm in a rush. Never more than 5 minutes, really. I know some people must think, when they look at me and say, wow, you know, that must take you all morning.
Yeah,
but really, it takes me... Yeah, fraction of a time a girl spends maybe doing their makeup.
Exactly. I mean, that's the thing. People have a misconception that it must take a lot. Or I guess there's two misconceptions there. Some people think it's a hat, that it's something you just put on. And I know there's...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, you don't have to wear it. You just keep it and you, boom.
Yeah, the other question is, do you tie it every morning? And then if they think you're tired, wow, that must take a task. That must take hours. Mm. It takes 10 minutes. That's because it's something you do daily. And once you got it down, you got it down. So another question, is there a meaning for colors?
I don't see one. I don't see a meaning to the color. However, traditionally, I must put it up here, that traditionally we started wearing blue. Mm. That was the color of our... flags, you know, our Sikh flag. You know, a lot of people don't know that Sikh is, it's a nationhood, and a nation has a flag. So Sikh flag was the color of blue, and from that came the turban color as well. It was usually blue, and that became the blue uniform. However, some people wear yellow, some people wear orange, white. Nowadays, it's actually very common to wear any color. But you may still see some traditional Sikhs wear blue.
I think the point we mentioned earlier about that kind of gives context to the no specific color thing, because it's the intentions and the actions that represent the turban.
Definitely.
So, you know, there's so many different colors. And the other question that I think we get is, what's the meaning of all the different shapes? That's a typical one, but I think it's the same.
I think that's the last question we'll take. Yeah,
that's the last.
Otherwise, we'll keep going.
But there's
I think historically,
as well.
There's actually no meaning of the shape, but obviously there's some historical information there that it started off as a round turban, a very very round and very huge turban, it started off as that. Especially in the times of the wars and the battles, it used to get even bigger with weapons around it, as you might see in some pictures. It started off as a round turban, mostly with weapons and with other artifacts on it. But, you know, as the, you know, times changed, the sizes got smaller, the shapes changed. However, the meaning did not change.
Yeah, and I think that was more around circumstances. So the warriors typically wore those ones with the weapons, the other one, other people wore smaller versions, or, you know.
That's it, yeah.
But ultimately, concept is still the same.
The concept is the same, yeah. The concept is just what we have defined above, earlier.
All right, so I think that brings this session to an end. Just to mention, your Instagram account is Singh Brews.
Singh Brews is SINGHBREWS. That's my profession. I do brewing and baking education. So that's my other account, Singh Brews. You can follow me there. And I would love to hear from you guys.
So my social media account is The Sikh Coach, and that's on Instagram. I also have one called The Accounts Coach, because I'm a qualified accountant and give some advice to students. So you're welcome to interact with us on that, both of us. Any suggestions on future topics, do give us a shout. We're always welcome for feedback as well.
We'll close it here then, Afsar.
All right. See you soon. Vaheguru Ji Ka
Khalsa. Vaheguru Ji Ka Khalsa. Vaheguru Ji Ki Fateh.
Thank you for listening to the Sikh Coach podcast. If you found this episode valuable, do share with your friends and family, and do give us feedback. You can email us at thesikhcoach@gmail.com or find us on Facebook, just search The Sikh Coach Podcast, and follow us on Instagram @The Sikh Coach. Thank you for listening. Stay blessed.